Hello, and welcome once again to the Learning Digital Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Anderson. It's been a while, so I can't even tell you what number I'm supposed to be on right now. I could look it up, but we'll just say we're in the 60s or 70s, somewhere there. And with me on this show today is my inestimable friend, Carrie Garrison of Camera Dojo. Carrie, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jason. Glad to be here. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. Thanks for coming back on the show. This is something we've been meaning to do for a while, ever since Carrie came out to Denver. Carrie has a new position in the VoIP industry where he comes to Denver quite often. And when he first came into Denver, we got together for a weekend, or a night, I should say, of shooting downtown on the mall in Denver, Colorado.
Which was really cool. And, I mean, that's a really hip, trendy place now.
Definitely. We definitely had a lot of fun. And the funny thing that came out of that is he happened to have his brand new Sony NEX, what is it, an NEX3?
The 5N.
Or an NEX5, the 5, okay. So he has the 5X, and I had my iPhone with me. I wasn't really planning on taking a photo walk. I thought we were just doing dinner. But he wanted to go out for a walk, check things out. So we went out for a walk, started doing a few shots. So I pulled my phone out and started taking a few shots with him. And the genesis of a podcast idea came together to compare mobile phone photography versus the third generation camera photography. Do a little side-by-side comparison, so we started taking similar shots, figured we could do a podcast on it. And of course, several weeks later, because we're always right on top of these things, the podcast was born. So we're sitting down today to talk a little bit about the benefits of one camera over the other and which is the winner, which one gets our verdict. So, Carrie, I'll let you start and talk about some of the features, functions, and camera settings that you have available on the Sony NEX.
Well, I bought the Sony NEX 5N because I do a tremendous amount of travel. I'm on the road pretty much every other week, and I was getting really tired of carrying my big DSLR and my big lenses around with me, so I wanted something that would give me good image quality, but also be very portable. And that's what led me to the new breed of what we call mirrorless cameras. And the advantages there are that you have interchangeable lenses, just like you do with the DSLR. Mm-hmm. The 5N, which is the one I picked, has an APS-C size sensor, which is the same as my DSLR.
Right.
So you end up with all the same level of features and image quality as I was getting with my Canon 7D, but in a form factor that could literally fit in my shorts pocket. And so that was a big decision point for me. Small, portable, interchangeable lenses, and yet no compromise in the image quality. So that was a biggie. So because of that, you get all the features that you would expect from a DSLR. The full manual control if you want it, zoom lenses, the raw file format so you can edit the files and have a lot more latitude if you're editing those in something like Lightroom. So that was kind of my big decision point in going with that particular camera.
And you think that, and I guess my question to you when you were researching this, because he was talking to me extensively about this before his purchase, and like you said, it was a big decision that he made to make the move to the mirrorless camera, but I guess I kind of want to clarify things a little bit here because you're not abandoning your DSLRs.
No.
You still use those when you're not traveling. So if you are staying in one location and you know you're going out on a dedicated photo shoot or you're doing something that requires something a little more professional. I don't think you would ever shoot a wedding with him. Well, you probably could. I don't know. What do you think? Would you ever feel comfortable shooting a wedding with a mirrorless camera?
I think that with the 5N that I have today, I would have to say probably not. Although at a recent wedding, I did pull it out because I had the 16mm lens on it, and I just kept that on in my pocket while I was using my 7D for all the primary shots, but I wanted to get a few super wide shots, and so I pulled out the Sony to do that. And I also pulled out the Sony inside to do some really cool detail shots because that 16mm is an f1.8, so I get this really tight depth of field. And so I was able to do some things with it very quickly. The downside to the 5N is that it doesn't have a regular viewfinder on it. So you're looking through the LCD, looking through, that's kind of, you're looking at the LCD.
You're looking through the LCD.
Yeah, you're looking at the LCD on the back of the screen, on the back of the camera, and so your position for holding it isn't as secure. So it's harder to get, you know, really long shots, or when you're using the zoom lens to hold it really steady like I can with the DSLR. Now, had I had a bigger budget, I would have gone to the Sony NEX-7, which has an electronic viewfinder on it, which would have solved some of those problems. And even though I can get a viewfinder for the 5N, it goes on the accessory port. Well, if I put the viewfinder on there, then I can't have a flash on there, and so I'm kind of limited to using it in ambient light or natural light. I can't use flash. If I have my flash adapter on there, well, then I can't have a viewfinder. So you got these trade-offs that you're always dealing with. The 7 has a viewfinder and a regular hot shoe, so you kind of have the best of both worlds, but that camera at the time was about $500 more, so it was outside of the budget that I had set aside for what was supposed to be my travel camera.
Right. And I guess the other question that kind of ties into it that you spoke of with regard to the NEX is that this one of image quality, because before you bought the camera, you weren't 100% sure that the image quality was going to be on par with what the SLR was producing at the time, correct? You were...
You know, I was worried about that, for sure.
We had several discussions about this, but after getting it and realizing that the image quality was there, this is why our little photo war, or whatever you want to call it, the side-by-side comparison, is really kind of a one-and-done conclusion, where it's pretty obvious who the winner is going to be because of the nature of the mirrorless cameras and the options that it has available. So we can go down that road, but I think it's more interesting to speak to the image quality. Like, what for you defines image quality?
Okay, that's a good question. There's a couple of pieces to that. Well, I mean, first, the image has to have proper sharpness. You don't want it to be blurry. You don't want it to be grainy. You want it to be as good of a sharp image as possible. You want to have good dynamic range. So you want to be able to see stuff that's in the shadows as well as things that are in the highlights. I mean, that's very important.
I was going to say, okay. I think the important thing there is when we're specifying these criteria of degree of sharpness, dynamic range, those sorts of things, is acceptable sharpness, acceptable dynamic range, whether acceptable lack of pixelization, if that's a good way to phrase that, those sorts of things, that these are all terms that we use when looking at an image under normal circumstances.
Correct. I mean, things are going to really mess that up in different situations, but you want to have a baseline that's going to give you an image that's at the minimum, your minimum acceptable level. And so dynamic range. Oh, and color, that you want to have accurate color tone.
Sure.
Those were the ones that I was really looking at, and surprisingly enough, there's situations where the sensor on the 5N actually outperforms the sensor on my 7D. I mean, it's almost 2 years newer, so it's not a big surprise.
Right. Yeah, I'm not one to ever say that a certain brand of camera is going to ever be better at anything that is 2 years more recent than the one you're comparing it to. So that's definitely something that always is in favor of newer technology, is the fact that it is newer technology, because it's going to have added features and functionality, better image handling capabilities than anything that's 2 years older than its counterpart. So that's definitely something worth considering. To speak to these kinds of issues on the iPhone side of things, then let's kind of flip the coin a little bit. One of the downsides for me, because I think it's a foregone conclusion at this point, our vote is going to go for the NEX over the iPhone. Would you agree with that at this point, Gary? Is that safe to say from your end?
I think there's, when we compare the image quality, the tonal ranges, the dynamic range, I would say that the Sony is gonna win out overall as a better camera platform. But also keep in mind that, you know, and I know this is such a cliche catchphrase these days, but the best camera in the world is the one you have with you.
Exactly. But and that's, I think that kind of highlights the distinction that we'll make here in a little bit about, yes, the best camera is the one that you have with you, but is it safe to rely on your camera phone versus taking a small pocket camera, whether it's a point-and-shoot camera or a mirrorless camera or some other form factor? You know, that it's really a question of, yes, the best camera is the one that you have with you, but it's also a question of what one should I have with me? Is it okay to rely on this? And we can talk about this other subject of iPhoneography or mobile phoneography or whatever you want in a little bit here. But let's speak very briefly about some of the features and functions and capabilities of the iPhone, or the mobile phone, if you will, because it doesn't have to be an iPhone. I just happen to be shooting with
right.
an iPhone.
And I have,
so for me,
I have the
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I have the Samsung Galaxy S3. So I have the Android phone, it's not the iPhone, but the Galaxy S3 has virtually the identical camera in it that the iPhone 4S has. So,
right. So we can speak to that. So exactly. The big thing that I found as a kind of a limiting factor from the iPhone's perspective are all these bullet points that we've mentioned that have pros for them in terms of the mirrorless camera, because the things we spoke of were stability, image quality, ability to adjust functions. I think my biggest pet peeve of any mobile phone or any camera phone, I should say, that I've had has been the fact that you can't change your aperture settings or shutter speeds.
Or ISO. That is,
or ISO. But ISO not as much, but the fact that if I want to have a shallower depth of field or a wider depth of field is something I have no control over, and I've never had any control over in any mobile phone application.
Well, not just mobile phones, but that also applies a lot to point-and-shoot cameras, even the good ones, like, the higher-end Canons, but...
I was going to say, the G12 that I was just shooting with recently, it was a pretty decent body, and actually I wish I'd had that when I was out shooting with you, because I think that would have been an excellent comparison.
Oh, yeah, that one's got a great, robust feature set.
Exactly. But that just kind of shows what the limiting factors are on this mobile phone world, because you're not going to have that same kind of control over depth of field or shutter speed. You can't control for light as much as you can in any other camera. And as photographers, I think that's something we all recognize, that photography really, I'm having trouble talking today for some reason, photography really is capturing light more than anything else. So if you surrender control of light in any way, shape, or form, the quality of your results will suffer.
You're going to make sacrifices.
Yeah, you're going to be making sacrifices, exactly. It's not to say that image quality isn't acceptable on the iPhone, because I think some of the shots that came out of our photo shoot were on par with each other when the lighting conditions permitted that. But as it started getting darker on this photo walk, the NEX just started stomping all over the mobile phone. It was just ridiculous. And it's funny that it stomped, because I knew it would. It didn't surprise me that it did, but it surprised me the degree to which it started stomping over things. So let's take a look at a couple photos here. I'll pull these into the website after the podcast, so if you want, look at the show notes. But we have a couple photos that we'd like to share here. And, Carrie, I'll let you highlight the ones that you want people to take a look at first, and then we can take a look at their counterparts on the iPhone side. And Carrie shared with me 25 photos. So he'll just he'll call out the number of the photo, and we can look at some of the pros and cons of each of these images, and then we'll reference them in the show notes as well, so you can take a look at what we're talking about here, too. So, Carrie, which are your favorite phones? You have 25 photos in our shared library.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, let's start with number two.
Okay, number two.
And number two is a very vertical shot of the U.S. Bank building. And, you know, this was, it was in the evening. We were probably about 40 minutes before sunset. Would that be about right? So somewhere in there.
Like that. So, something like, Yeah.
That's why the building has this nice orange cast to it, because the sun is starting to go down. It's low in the sky. But what I liked about this particular shot was that it really showed the colors that and how well they popped from the NEX 5N. It just really had a good depth of field, and the color range on here, and these colors just really popped. You don't see such a gradient in the sky like you might with some other cameras. It's just a really nice, smooth transition from one side to the other.
Exactly. And I think the same kind of result happened inside the iPhone, and we can look at that result later, where we can see that that interesting perspective, that almost trapezoidal perspective, and the gradations and the colors. And the time of day, I think the quality of light also speaks to the quality of any kind of photo, because when the quality of light is good, the resulting photos will be that much better. And this was the perfect time of day to be going on a photo walk, because the sun hadn't quite set yet. We were still getting light casting on the buildings, but it was more horizontal light.
Yeah.
Rather than sharp overhead, glaring, blaring, horrible light where you can't really control it. And it was nice to the side effect, or to the side light, that had a very pleasing effect on all our shots.
Added some nice shadows and contrast, and I love shooting at that time of day.
Yeah, I think that's probably a favorite time of day for a lot of people, yeah. So let's move on to the second photo that you wanted to take a look at in your own set here.
Well, I think Go ahead.
No, you go. Were talking about number two. Let's jump to which one
about
now?
Five, because we both have a very similar take on this one, and this is the horse.
The horse. Okay, go ahead.
So, again, this is one where you're seeing quite a bit of detail. The colors are good. The sharpness is good. The sky was a little blown out in this one because there's so much darkness on the horse, and I was exposing for that. So I did lose some of the sky. But overall, I was really happy with this particular shot, with the detail that the camera pulled out and how it picked up all the really dark pieces on that saddle.
So the thing I'll throw in here with regard to Carrie's camera versus the iPhone that I was using is, if you look at the shot that he took, look at his depth of field versus the depth of field in the shot that I took, and I'll post mine up side by side on the website so you can see what we're talking about here when it comes to the differences between a camera where you have control over depth of field and shutter speed, and a camera where you don't have control. So, Carrie, bounce over to my folder real quick there of the shots that I did.
Yeah, and I probably shot that at f5.6.
Yeah, and I had no control over my depth of field here. So if you look at mine, you can see how much sharper things are, not only on the horse, but going through. And if you look at the contrast on here, it's not as sharp. Number one. Number two, the contrast of the dynamic range on the image is just nowhere near as good. I had a slightly different angle than you did. And it's an okay shot. It's nothing that's going to win any awards. I think neither will really win awards. But between the two, I think Carrie's photo will win out each and every time, just because it has so much more sharpness. It has so much more detail. It handles that dynamic range so much better. And I think his composition actually was a little better than mine, too, because I was just doing a throwaway shot at that point before we decided to even do a side-by-side comparison. But, yeah, you can kind of see the side-by-side there, since the shots are so similar, to see the performance of each camera, and I think that's ultimately what we're looking at here.
And if you could have used a tighter depth of field, the people in the background and the trees and the street sign would have blurred out a little bit, making the subject stand out a little more.
And I obviously didn't have the same kind of range in the same dynamic range in my photo that you were able to get out of yours, because I couldn't even get that dark shadow detail to come out like you did on yours. So, yeah, it's definitely an interesting result here. Well, I shouldn't say interesting, but a telling result here, for lack of a better phrase.
That's probably one way of putting it.
So, sorry?
That's a good way of putting it.
Yes, a telling result. So what's your next favorite photo that you wanted to talk about in your own library of shots there from when we were on the mall?
I think six is going to also talk about the depth of range, or depth of field there. This is just a quick
dog,
flip shot that I did of this dog that was dressed up kind of funny. And I was using a very short depth of field, and it's the whole rest of the dog starts blurring out, which gave a pretty nice effect on it.
And plus, we're dog fans, so it always is fun when you get a shot of a dog that just makes you laugh.
Especially one.
So.
In yellow and purple.
Kind of grinning for the camera like you did.
Yeah.
I did not. I was not as fortunate to grab a shot of the dog as Carrie was, so I don't have a comparison shot to show you. But I think what's interesting in looking at Carrie's shot here, it shows how the NEX handles color changes, because it's a pretty strong change in color tones moving from the dog's face to his tongue to the yellow and the purple that are in that little thing going around his neck. And I think that's part of what makes it kind of a cool photo, is the fact that you have such this, I guess, such a stark change in color tones going from the face to the bright colors behind it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a juxtaposition you wouldn't normally see. So I think that's kind of what makes the photo work, as well as what demonstrates the color quality that the NEX can produce.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah.
Really happy with that.
Interesting shot.
And then Lex, next, yeah. Let's jump to what is with us this morning?
Who knows? It's Saturday morning.
It's got to be the heat. I don't know. I'm roasting here. Let's go to number 10, because this is, again, a situation where we both have almost identical shots. And this is the Gates building.
Right.
And if I look at these, this is one of those where you really have to nitpick between the two to decide which one you like more. And, in fact, some people may like the iPhone one better than the Sony one. This is going to be a personal preference, because the images are actually very similar, and yet at the same time they're very different. I got some different colors out of it. I got a little more lighting on the front of the building, and yet your shot has some more contrast to it. So I'm not sure that there's actually a clear winner on this one. This could come down to personal preference.
I think this is kind of one of the areas where it's a perfect example of, in the right lighting conditions, either camera can work sufficiently well for you. Because the lighting conditions were so unique here, where you can either expose for the darkness or expose for the brightness. Since I had no exposure control, I had to go with what the camera chose, and the camera chose to go for the darker tones.
Yeah, and I'm probably, mine definitely knocked it up a little, a notch or so, but I didn't lose the sky either.
It looks like your shot is about half a stop to maybe a stop lighter than mine.
Yeah.
In terms of the amount of light that's actually hitting the sensor here. They're both interesting shots, but interesting perspectives, showing the curvature of the buildings. And like you said, it's got an interesting composition that can be had either way. It's just going to come down to personal preference. But, yeah, I think the architectural ones were similarly balanced. They were kind of on par with each other. It's just a matter of personal preference on either one of these. I kind of liked mine because it had the biker in there.
Mm-hmm.
That was going along. That was taking your eye visually along that curve. But there's no reason why you couldn't have accomplished the same thing with yours. You just chose to compose slightly differently to eliminate the street view. So, yeah. Good shot. Good shot.
Now, here's another one where you'll probably say the iPhone is going to win on this one. And that's mine number 13. And yours aren't numbered that way, so it's hard to compare. But this is a shot looking up a cable towards a mast that's holding up this pedestrian walkway there. And because I think I had bumped it up to F8, I still wasn't getting a long depth of field, and the iPhone just nailed it for this particular shot.
Right. And I think also what helps with the iPhone, what helped me in this capacity is I'd shot this scene several times before. You know, I've lived in Denver I've shot this scene several times before, so I kind of had a handle on how to get the composition down and get everything in focus that I wanted to have in focus, because the whole concept here in getting this aerial view of this suspension pole going up into the sky. The whole idea in that composition is to have everything focusing to infinity.
Yeah.
And I knew that, so I knew that in this particular scenario, the iPhone would have no problems doing that because that's all the iPhone can do.
Yeah, even if I would have pushed to F22, I probably still wouldn't have had the same effect.
Right. And I have a feeling it's because of the algorithms that the mobile camera phone will have in how it ascertains where the sharpness is supposed to lie, where the depth of field is supposed to lie. And just like you said, it nailed it. So I think my only critique here of the iPhone is that I don't like how the sky is much more grainy.
Yeah.
And that's just a downfall. And it's not really a critique of the iPhone. It's more a critique of camera phones, because the sensor size in these little camera phones is so small relative to any other camera in the marketplace that you're going to get noise, much more noise than you will with any other camera.
Well, I think
when
that's,
you do a true side-by-side comparison.
That's a great point that I don't think most people get, because people get really caught up in the megapixels. Oh,
right.
It's got 10 megapixels, you know. It's
14,
just, there's
going to
be a
18,
there's a 40 yeah. that's going to come out in a phone. And yet, I don't care how many pixels you have, the sensor is smaller than the eraser on a pencil.
Right.
And when I compare that to the sensor that's in a DSLR or in the Sony NEX, which is larger than a postage stamp, there's a
right.
huge difference in what you're going to be able to get out of these things.
And I think that also brings up an important clarification about megapixels versus sensor size, because people start asking about numbers all the time. Well, what is the best number of megapixels to have for this particular type of sensor, whether you're talking about a camera phone versus a third-generation mirrorless camera versus an SLR? And I've talked about this in the past on my own blog. I'm sure Kerry's talked about it on his blog as well, where you reach a threshold of diminishing returns, in my opinion, when it comes to sensors and megapixels, because the more megapixels you cram onto an identically sized sensor, I think the more noise and, I guess, artifacting is the best way to phrase that, but the more struggles you're going to have, because you're not going to have those smooth gradations. I would rather see a sensor have fewer megapixels relative to sensor size, because that way you can have smoother gradations as you move from one pixel to another, because you have more control that way.
Yeah, and on the sensor itself, the individual pixels that make up the sensor have to be so
tiny.
Much smaller that they cannot take in as much light as a
exactly.
larger one. They,
exactly, yeah.
I know this sounds odd, thinking that, well, larger is going to be better, but we're talking the same number of megapixels. It's the same. It's a weird trick of physics, is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Smaller
yeah,
I mean, is not better.
Want, and if you want, we can probably have an entire separate podcast talking about the benefits of more versus fewer megapixels, because that is, I mean, that's a hornet's nest to fly into that. So we probably don't want to go down that rabbit hole in the context of today's show. But it just kind of illustrates that, yeah, okay, the iPhone may have had a sharper shot because it was focused to infinity, but keep in mind, one, that's all it can do, and two, look at the noise that happened on the iPhone because of this pixel issue, because you're getting a lot more pixelation, a lot more noise, and it just doesn't know how to handle that.
Yeah, and then at this point, this was about the last moment of daylight as it's the sun started to really go
yep.
down behind the buildings. And the next shot, let's go to my number 17, and you have virtually the same shot here of the front of Union Station.
Right.
And
night and day.
This is all. Oh, I mean, you.
And I think this is the perfect illustration of how. Well, go ahead.
Yeah. This.
Go ahead.
This shot. This comparison shot actually will show a lot of what we've been talking
volumes.
About.
Yeah, it speaks volumes. You've got a better range of color. You've got a better range of tonality. You've got better sharpness. I mean, It's
better noise.
To me, better noise, better depth of field.
Look at the
look
word
at the sky.
Travel by train.
Right.
I mean, I can see, you know, the actual neon bulbs in there that are lit up, and on the iPhone one, that becomes a blur.
Well, and in defense of the iPhone, I also probably was not using proper camera technique because I don't think I had gone to moving to a tree for support yet. I was still trying to capture a still shot handheld. And with the light being where it was and the fact that the camera will not do a longer exposure, just kind of speaks to the motion that you're going to see in these shots.
Well, you know, but a lot of the stuff, like if you look at the clock, I mean, it's pretty sharp. It's just, you're getting a lot of glow because the amount of dynamic range involved here from going to these, from dark shadows to actual bright lights that are shining at us, and not to mention the sky, this is going to be a challenge for an iPhone sensor. It's just, there's not enough dynamic range here, and so anything that's really bright is going to start getting blown. And you see that in even the lights at the bottom, where on the NEX, you actually see the outline of the lights themselves, and on the iPhone, it started to get to blow out a little bit more. So this is definitely one of those shots where see the strengths and weaknesses very, very clear.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious at this point which camera does do better in low light. And I think probably an important clarification point here when people look at these two shots side by side, just in anticipation of what may come through in the comments, I could see very easily someone saying, well, how do we know you didn't do this kind of stuff in post? And the answer is, we didn't. We didn't do any post-production on either of our shots. This is raw footage, so to speak, straight out of the camera that we're sharing with you here. Kara's done no post-production on his. I've done no post-production on mine. And the whole intent here is to show you a side-by-side, quote-unquote, raw comparison of these photos side-by-side.
If I would have bumped the sharpness a little bit, increased the vibrance a little bit, I could have probably even bumped shadows a little bit, pulled down highlights a little bit. I could make these things look way, way better.
Sure, sure. We're just doing a raw comparison here. I just wanted to kind of head off that type of comment before I could see someone making it that, how do we know? Because it looks like there might have been some post-production on the shot on the left. Well, I shouldn't say left. It depends on how I throw them up in the show notes. But on Carrie's shot, someone I could easily see someone saying, well, how do we know you didn't throw an ND filter on there?
No, I had no Lightroom. Yeah. No, I wish I would have, but I didn't.
It just goes back to our discussion point about the wider tonal range. Because if you look at like the bottom portion where the fence line is and how much brighter that is on the NEX versus how much darker it is on the iPhone, I think that's pretty telling there.
Now, doesn't that also bring up another point in that I'm in RAW, and the iPhone is shooting JPEG, which is going to allow me to do more post-production if I want to.
That's an excellent point. Excellent, excellent point. Yeah. The one thing that the iPhone does have here that may be worth mentioning is the ability to go into HDR mode on the phone. So if you go into your options and you tap it and you go into HDR, it will give you I shouldn't say a better photo because it's not a better photo, but it gives you more control in post if you did want to do post-production on these shots, where you can select an exposure value or a shot that, to allow you to present it in a more pleasing fashion than what this is.
Yeah, we should have done that because both of the cameras have an HDR function where they take multiple shots and combine them. And I have one that we did, but we didn't do that with the iPhone. So that would have been another comparison that we could have done.
And I tell you, here's a great point to bring out about, regardless of whether you're shooting an iPhone or the NEX or any other camera, one of the most important things in taking good photos, regardless of what you're using, is to actually know what the functions are and how to do these different things on whatever phone you have with you. Because when Kerry started doing the HDR, I was like, yeah, I can't do HDR on the iPhone. He's like, are you sure? I thought that had it on the 4. It's like, I don't remember seeing that. And sure enough, later on we figured out, oh, I had turned that setting off when I had first gotten the camera, because I was like, yeah, I'm never going to use this for HDR. Little did I know I'd be doing a camera comparison 6 months later with Carrie. So just that's the point here, is to make sure that you know all the features and functions that you have available on your camera, because knowing your camera will help you take better pictures.
Yeah. Now, I think we should jump to 23, which I think is your last one. And actually, this is interesting, because at first glance, you may not see too many differences here. I mean, this was now the sun's completely down. We're only shooting with, you know, the light that's there, I mean, which is almost none. But I think we need to go through and point out some of the differences, because at first glance, you might not think that these are that different.
I don't know. I see some substantial differences.
Well, the first thing is look at the street lights. That's a big tell right there. The NEX has less of a glow around them. You still see a lot of the definition of the light fixture itself. And when you go to the iPhone, you see this blob, and then you see all this pixelated noise around it. That was the first sign that things weren't quite as on par here. And then if we look at the gradient in the sky, I would say that there's somewhat of a difference.
There's somewhat of a difference. That's putting it mildly. The thing I'll point out here is look at how blurry things are on the iPhone side versus, well, I shouldn't say blurry, but look at how noisy things are on the iPhone side versus the Sony NEX side. If you look at the sign for 18th Street on the right-hand side on each photo, look, and granted the composition is slightly different, but you can get the general idea. Look at how blurry things are over there. And that may be due to the fact that there's the bright blob above it and the bright blob below it, so it does know what to do with that dark area.
And we were resting these cameras on, I think it was a newsstand or something.
Yeah. So both had stability. Both had stability. That's an excellent point. But look at how much sharper it is on the NEX side. I think that just drills the last coffin nail in. Yeah. That if you're trying to decide whether or not it's worth getting a mirrorless camera, and I think the same would hold true regardless of what model you get a mirrorless camera over a phone camera, it's pretty well a foregone conclusion that, yes, you will get better photos.
You know, just last week, I was back at, excuse me, I was back out in Denver with my wife, and we did a drive through the Rocky Mountain National Park. And
he didn't call me, by the way, so that's okay.
I was with my wife. We were doing a little romantic weekend thing.
I know,
so, yeah.
I know.
But we went from Estes Park and Stanley Hotel and all the way through the park and everything. It was just absolutely beautiful. And it just boggled my mind that as we would pull off to get some cool shot, or there was like a herd of elk standing there that we were shooting, that I'm here with my camera and I've got my zoom lenses so I can get right up on top of the stuff. And most of the people were shooting with iPhones.
Yeah.
Or iPads. They'd be running around with an iPad.
Are you serious?
Yeah, shooting their landscapes and stuff with their phones and their tablets. And I'm like, you know, I'm sure those pictures, because it was during the day and everything, I'm sure those pictures are going to look great, but I didn't have to go running down a hill to get next to an elk that might have killed me. I was able to stand back and just like, I'm going to zoom right in on that guy. And even though there are little add-on lenses that you can get for an iPhone, I just don't think that's still quite going to give you the same level of functionality pulling out a 50 to 500 and being able to zoom a quarter mile away.
I guess in response to that, I know what some people would probably say is that you can zoom in with the iPhone using that little pinch technique. Keep in mind that that's a digital zoom. If you do something like that, because there's apps out there that let you do that kind of stuff with the iPhone, and it's not the same kind of zoom, because it's going to be a much smaller picture. You're going to get much more grain on it. It's not going to look as good. And if you want, we can do a side by side
and try hand holding that when you're zooming all the way in.
Exactly.
There's no image stabilization, so you're going to get a lot more camera shake if you zoom in with that. So all those things are going to combine to make for a much poorer quality image.
Well, a much more challenging situation. I wouldn't say a poor image, but a much more challenging situation to produce a quality image. Because I'm not saying you can't. You probably could, but you would have to have so many other things going into effect here. You would have to have something to hold the camera up against. You would have to have an elk that's standing perfectly still. You know, you would have to, you know.
But even just being a digital zoom is going to start degrading the picture quality.
Exactly. And that's why there's only so much you can do. But, yeah, that's pretty much the nuts and bolts of what we were going to talk about on this podcast. I know it's been a while since I've done the podcast, so apologies for that and not getting shows on a more regular basis. But I would like to thank Carrie for coming on the show and taking the time to compare our shots here from the Denver photo walk that we did. I know it's been, probably about 4 weeks, 5 weeks since we actually did this. So thank you for keeping your memory up to par so we can have a discussion about these. I think your memory is probably better than mine because I didn't remember the newsstand until you mentioned that. And so I was like, oh, yeah, we did have a newsstand there we were propped up on. So kudos to Carrie for being my memory there because I had forgotten
several aspects.
The next time
we should compare to the G12 versus the Sony because now you're gonna have more similarities, but again, you have a lot of differences because the G12 doesn't have interchangeable lenses, and yet it still has a lot more features and robustness to the feature set. So there's always trade-offs.
Right. That would be a fantastic show. The only problem is I had to return that. I had to send it back to the vendor that provided it to me. So that show probably won't happen in the near future.
Maybe we'll find an EOS M.
Right, and maybe I will have another camera in hand soon that we can do another comparison the next time Carrie's in town. But for now, that's pretty much going to be a wrap. My vote goes to the Sony NEX. Carrie, where does your vote go?
You should always have a camera on you, whether it's your iPhone or your Android or whatever it is. But if you're going out and you want to take serious pictures, I think I'm going to go with the NEX over my camera phone.
Motion rules. We'll see you next year in Atlantic City. Hey, Carrie, thanks for coming on the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening in, and we'll see you next time here at the Learning Digital Photography Podcast.